If you've committed a crime and you don't want to do the time, you may be eligible for diversion. Please call the law offices of Jacob Khachaturian and you will be found ex-guilty.
Jacob Khachaturian is a criminal lawyer who will not promise you the world just to sell you up the river. With his experience and skills, you get a defense attorney that is truly by your side, defending you at every stage of the prosecution, including a jury trial where he's had over a 92% success rate for his clients. Whether it's a DUI, domestic violence, or even something as serious as murder, Jacob is the guy you need by your side. That's Jacob Khachaturian, attorney at law. Call 323-880-4000 for Jacob Khachaturian, criminal defense.
Thank you.
This is Maurice Jones-Drew, and you're listening to the What's Brewing Show.
You're listening to the What's Brewing Show, part of the What's Brewing Show Network, with your hosts, Jake Berryfield and Mike Regalado, and occasionally some friends, talking all things UCLA sports. And now, it's time for the What's Brewing Show.
Hello and welcome to What's Brewing. I am your host, Jake Merrifield, and I'm joined by my good friend, Mike Regalado.
Our friend, Mike Regalado.
That's me.
That's him. Uh-huh. And it is MJ edition.
The ceiling is the roof.
The MJ edition.
As it is and always will be, apparently. But hey, it's the What's Brewing Show on the What's Brewing Show Network. Thank you for your support. There's at least a couple great shows on this one great feed now that Jamal has decided to start doing West Coast bias again, which is fun.
You're just all about the West Coast bias. You don't like the East Coast.
Just as the Laker season wraps up.
Yeah, I think that's what inspired him to do it. We haven't got to podcasting together yet, but if you are inclined to listen to any Laker or Dodger talk, I think he's going to do some Kings too at some point, but that will be published tonight. There's going to be he did an episode, and I might put an addendum on there myself talking, but we'll see. I don't know. But anyways, it's the What's Brewing Show on the What's Brewing Show Network, and you can get
fire
us on email.
Everybody. Sorry,
exactly. They already did fire somebody. What'sBrewingShow@gmail.com is the email if you have any questions or comments, constructive criticism. What'sBrewing.substack.com for just a little more than how much, Mike?
$2!
$2.
We had a new subscriber on there last week. Thank you for your support as well.
Thank you.
You can support us on the Patreon, patreon.com/whatsbrewingshow or just whatsbrewingshow.com. On Twitter, Instagram, Threads at whatsbrewingshow. And you can get What's Brewing Show merch at the My Locker site in the show notes. And of course, you can call the hotline 805-399-4WBS. Suck it, Reign of Troy. Mike is trying to pay somebody for tickets to Dark World?
No.
Kroll World. Yeah, he's going to a cool concert, and he got some super extra cool VIP opportunity passes from somebody that will remain nameless, but he's trying to pay for right now. So they might slip through his fingers, and then he'll be total like, oh, man, what a bummer. But if he can manage to pay for it, you know, then Mike might be going to Kroll World.
What a shame.
Better.
Oh, no. That's good. No, yeah, that's good. So, Mike, so you work on that, and I will give the phone number once again, 805-399-4WBS, Sega Red and Troy. And I guess after that, we'll get to the bro-affiliated headlines with Mike.
Bro!
Mike Regalado.
Iron Mike.
Big applause, Big Mike.
Mike Regalado.
Hey, Mike.
What's brewing?
Breaking news
on a weekly basis.
News just in.
Well, it didn't take you that long. Mike, you managed to make your transaction complete.
Yes,
going
sir.
To Kroll World.
Yep. Yep. Well, that was quick.
Yeah, good for you.
Going VIP style with VIP parking in a VIP way.
Well, that's pretty awesome. Go Bruins. Mm-hmm. He's just a baller, man. Okay, well, very good. So you have headlines.
Yes, I do.
Put your damn tickets away. Now that you're going. It's handled.
Fine, Mike.
I've indulged you. I'm letting you seize this opportunity.
We didn't get to go to that 80s concert in Huntington Park because of the stupid/awesome USC UCLA win over USC.
Yeah.
So this is I need to get a festival in my system.
I'm happy.
So.
I'm happy for you. I'm very happy for you.
Thank you very much.
All right. Anyways, what are the headlines?
Well, we have a few things. We're going to get to, which is that got the UCLA fan base very excited this weekend. But we're going to start off with the fact that it was Cinco de Mayo.
It was.
Not Mexican Independence Day.
No.
It was the celebration of the Battle of Pueblo.
It's the Anglo-Mexican Independence
Pretty much at this point.
It's
it's
Mexican
not a Mexican
Independence Day for Anglos.
Exactly.
For honkies.
Hey, ask me, did
I go celebrate Cinco de Mayo at a Mexican food restaurant?
Did you?
I did.
Oh, wow.
It was awesome.
I had
albondigas. It was great.
It's
my favorite. My favorite place to get that soup.
I had a punk band come on my show.
Awesome.
One dude was Mexican, I think.
Yeah. Good job, Mike.
So Mr. Jaime Jaquez was at the White House on Monday. It wasn't actually on Cinco de Mayo, which a lot of people were like, you know, it's not the actual date. Yeah, got it. They did it for ceremonial reasons. Mm-hmm. And he got to talk alongside Dr. Jill Biden and President Joe Biden, which, political stances aside, that's pretty cool to be invited to the White House to speak upon something that is deep, that means something to you, to your culture. And it was the Bruins and the Miami Heat fan base got behind Jaime.
A twofer, yeah. Yeah, I really dislike the whole, I'm not going to go, you know, accept the presidential invitation because of whatever, whatever, whatever. It's like, really? You know, you're American. You're getting invited to the White House. Just go do it, regardless of how you feel about whoever happens to be holding office at that time. Because it's not really about that. It's about something else. It's about whatever you got invited for, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, so that is a very cool opportunity for Jaime, and he repped us pretty well, right?
Yeah, definitely. And basically, kind of an ambassador and for the Mexican-American peoples.
It's a shame he wasn't a Laker. I'll tell you that right now.
Seriously.
Not to get on sidetrack.
Dude, we could do an entire podcast
about
it.
They picked him right after you guys. How you feel about Jalen Hood-Schifino? Give me a break.
Yeah, and how did he do?
Think he probably could have helped against friggin' Denver.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Oh, Denver's getting their heads turned into canoes right now. But
seriously, what's that about? By Minnesota.
I'm sorry. It's my fault.
I'm Minnesota.
My fault. Stay on target.
Still. So Jaime was able to go to the White House, so cheers to him.
That's right.
We also, I'm working on a story that's going to be published sometime this week about the spring game attendances.
Bro.
For the Big 12 schools. Now, not every school released their attendance numbers.
Okay.
Actually, only 8 out of the 18 did.
Okay.
And UCLA, even though they came in 6th out of 8,
uh-huh.
I think we can all agree that their 11,703 attendees is quite a step up from what we've seen the last few years.
And nothing to be ashamed of.
Oh, God.
That's the main thing. Nothing to be ashamed of.
Over 10,000. That
who
was a good turnout.
Who were they ahead of on the list of the people who published their report?
This was interesting. Number 7 was Washington, who only had 5,000.
That's the Washington spring game right there.
Yeah.
I mean,
exactly.
It's like, what's going on, Huskies? You guys were just in the freaking playoff, for goodness sakes.
Yeah, exactly. Right?
Unbelievable.
Purdue, which apparently, as I read,
they were
for them,
the NCAA title game.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
They're still drunk from that.
Yeah, still. Yeah, it was like a week later. But yeah. Apparently, that was good for them.
They haven't found their way back to that very remote campus yet.
Yeah, they had 4,400. But yeah, UCLA right now, just the fact that they're good, that they got 11,000. And I talked to, I communicated with a UCLA spokesperson. UCLA actually reserved had 23,000 tickets reserved.
Yeah.
Obviously, some didn't show up, but still, 11,000 showing up for a spring game, that's something.
It's not super awesome, tremendous, but it's not anything to be ashamed of.
Exactly.
Right? And we already know that SC didn't have any more at theirs. Like, you know, just eyeballing it, there's definitely not any more than UCLA had.
Exactly.
So there's a 9th out of 18 schools, right?
Yeah.
Now, the ones that had just a ridiculous amount of fans there, either places where literally, like, it's expected. It's like Nebraska. Of course they're going to fill it up. There's Nebraska is what all those, you know, large-bodied people live for.
Yeah.
Right? Ohio State, they're literally going to be the number one team in the country, like, wire to wire this coming year. And it's Ohio State. Once again, there's not a whole lot to do in Columbus, although it's a lovely city.
Yeah.
Then, you know, the Buckeyes. You know, Michigan coming off a national title. Of course they had a ton of people there. They're going to, right? So, yeah, are the Bruins competing with that? No, but the spring game that they had, especially coming off of the years that they had under Voldemort, Charles Kelly, who is actually, Mike, literally more breaking news.
What's brewing? News.
Breaking news on a weekly basis.
News just in.
Former UCLA football coach.
I think Chip Kelly is probably the worst coach in the Pac-12 right now.
Chip Kelly.
Chip Kelly.
Chip Kelly can kind of be a dick.
Chip Kelly is literally like a mile from us right now.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like from our location, the undisclosed location in the North Valley.
Looking on Northwest Valley. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
This son of a gun is at Sierra Canyon. As we speak, should we drive over there and like throw rocks at his car or something?
That's probably vandalism, which we've talked about.
Be. Well, no. It's only if we connect. I mean, it really is assaulting his car. If we could like aim high and just like make the point of throwing something at his car, but not really like try to hit it. You know, like I get arrested, but we wouldn't get convicted. But anyways, I don't know how I got to that point, Mikey. But Chip is very close to us, doing some recruiting over at Ohio State. Did he ever set foot on Sierra Canyon's campus as the UCLA football coach?
You know, honestly.
He probably did. But let's say he didn't. That son of a bitch.
I was going to say probably not at the click he probably should have. But he's back in the Los Angeles area.
For the Ohio State University over there.
Yeah.
Doing his recruiting. All right. Well,
yeah.
That's a headline. There we go. Bro. Right?
Bro.
Bro.
Mikey, what are the headlines you got?
One final one, and this is this is good. This is really good. This is number 122 good. This is hang another banner good. This is the UCLA men's volleyball team winning their 20th national championship and UCLA's 122nd.
I'm happy that UCLA won. Go Bruins!
Go Bruins!
Go Bruins! And we have a call that's going to I'm just going to let the call speak for itself because it goes into
UCLA.
This championship.
That's right.
UCLA fight.
And it's from Leo the library guy on the What's Brewing hotline 805-399-4WBS. Sugar Rain and Troy. And let's play that.
Hey, What's Brewing Show? It's Leo from the library. I have some good news. Congratulate your 2024 National Championship men's volleyball team. They won in the hostile confines of Long Beach State. They pulled that in four sets against Long Beach State and broke their 19-game winning streak, repeated as national champions. It was a fantastic match. The first set, they won 25-21. It was kind of ragged by both teams. UCLA pulled away kind of late and was able to take the set. And then we won the second set 25-20. We had a really nice serving run early in the game around from like a, felt like I think it was a 12-7 lead, and we were able to maintain that lead throughout the whole set and then take it from Long Beach. And then the third set was really tight, and we actually it was going back and forth, and we actually had championship point at 24-23, but we couldn't close it out. And then actually Long Beach would pull ahead with a couple points, and then we'd tie it with a side out, then they'd go ahead a point, and then we'd tie it. But then eventually Long Beach State won that set 29-27. The fourth set was also very tight, back and forth. We built a tiny lead kind of late, like a couple points, but then like Long Beach tied it back up. And then like really late in the set, at like maybe 22-20, we got that 2-point cushion that we needed really late. And then we're able to kind of maintain the lead. And then we won the final set 25-21. And that was the championship. It was great work by the boys, you know, good, and contributions all around from Ethan Champlin and Ida David, who wasn't hitting well, but was serving well. Cooper Robinson had a great night hitting. And Andrew Rowan was setting. And then our serve receive was really great. Cause that was the thing. We never were too out of system, as they say. Like the pass led to a clean set, led to a clean hit. So hopefully we'll have more good news later this weekend. We'll find out tomorrow when UCLA plays USC in the Women's Beach Volleyball National Championship. All right, take it easy. Bye.
Fight!
That's all well and good, but spoiler alert, the UCLA Women's Beach Volleyball team, they fell to those Trojans. Those pesky Trojans.
Sometimes it's hard
to be a Bruin. Giving all your love to just one team.
Shame. Shame. Shame.
What a shame. What a shame.
It's just worse when it's SC.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. For a national title. It's just
especially
worse.
Since I think that's their that's four, a their four years in a row they've won the national championship in beach volleyball.
Yeah, it's rough.
Damn it.
That's funny. Not to skip over the national title that was actually won. You know, we went right from the good news to the bad news.
Yeah.
And it's okay, Mike. Yeah. We should do that.
Let's go back to the good news.
It was fun because that was both of my alma maters squaring off. You know, bachelor's UCLA, master's Cal State Long Beach. And guess what? I had no idea the game was even going on until someone told me that we won. So, hey, let's go! Go Bruins! So, but I was happy about that. That's good. And so, you know, we got that going for us, right?
Yeah. So, right. 122. At least we got another championship this year. There wasn't a championship drought this year. We would like to have it in
really
in,
just
in,
one?
Rough. Yeah, I know. Well, although... Softball
just won the conference title.
They did.
We got that going for us.
Yeah, they did.
And just ballers.
Straight baller.
Yeah, exactly. And, well, baseball's not doing great. And, you know, there's track, too. So there's still chance for another, but we have a championship for this year. So that's good.
I do really enjoy the NCAA playoffs when it comes to softball. The Pac-12s start this week, Mikey. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
And then we'll have the NCAAs after that. So looking forward to that. I always like to watch some of that. So. Good luck to the women's to the softball team, UCLA softball team. We're rooting for them. Now, Mikey, I guess that ends the headlines, does it not?
Yep.
All right. Well, what do you want to talk about then, dude?
Football and basketball.
All right, Mikey. Well, we're starting with football, I guess. Mm-hmm. So what kind of football talk do you want to talk about? The spring practice is over?
We already talked about that. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you want to talk about?
Well, the fact that...
I guess we had some breaking news, though, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Let's hit that. Again.
This leads into it, yeah.
A lot of breaking news this podcast.
Breaking news on a weekly basis.
News just in.
So what happened?
Well, UCLA landed a 4-star quarterback... Demarcus Davis, who is technically he's going to be a true freshman, but he's transferring in from Washington.
Wowza. So the UW pipeline is still alive.
Yeah, pretty
UW
much.
UW-UCLA pipeline. Go Dogs. Okay, good.
Colson Yankoff, Ethan Garbers, and now Demarcus Davis.
We'll take it. That's awesome.
Yeah, seriously.
All right, good.
And my point with all this is that Deshaun Foster is showing that you just have to do a little bit of work. Just a little. I mean, yeah, Chip Kelly's like a mile away.
Chip Kelly can kind of be a dick.
Recruiting, which would have been nice.
Maybe because someone told him to go do some work.
Probably.
Maybe.
Probably.
I don't know. Does Ryan Day tell Kelly to do anything? Because they're kind of like buddies.
I would.
And I think Kelly's kind of like a mentor for him. So it's kind of got it's probably like a Yoda-Luke sort of relationship at this point. So he probably still doesn't get told what to do, but maybe he's just kind of like, he kind of feels the pressure. Like he showed up at Ohio State and he's like, wow, these guys ain't effing around.
Yeah, that's what I would think.
That's probably
what
it is,
you're at Ohio State, you're at one of the top five football programs in the nation right now.
Yeah.
And you're not the boss.
He took a step down.
This was what he wanted to do. In his presser, he said he was happy just doing the offensive side. Okay, that's fine. Well, then you have to listen to the boss. Even if that's your younger best friend, this is still a business.
Not to turn this into a Chip Kelly podcast, we don't want to do that, but, you know, he took a step down in responsibility, but a step up in scrutiny, I would think.
Oh, yeah.
A little
bit. Totally.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
But, going back to my point, Deshaun Foster, you don't have to do that much. A little bit of work, and here you go. You're getting recruits in, seeing what UCLA has, and I wish you would have seen the crowd at, obviously not as big as the spring game, but the crowd at the Friday Night Lights, just having 200-300 recruits and their families there. If that would have happened when Chip Kelly was here, I'm certain UCLA would have had some just massive recruits, commit to the program in that time. Anyway.
So just to reiterate our stance, we are firmly in the camp of we have no idea how good or how bad the UCLA football team actually is at this point, because how could we?
Yeah.
However, new coach Deshaun Foster that was hired under less than ideal circumstances and who has a less than ideal resume is doing nothing but good things so far.
Yeah.
We have no negative things to say about it. And so in that respect, we are cautiously optimistic.
Exactly.
I think we'll probably restate that every freaking week until we get to games in September, late August, September.
Well, one of the things I wanted to touch upon is the fact that with recruiting, to dig a little into recruiting, not only is he bringing guys in, just, you know, how long has he been on the job? 2 months, 3 months, maybe?
Something like that.
He's already bringing guys in, you know, as we said, you know, Davis is a four-star quarterback. But he's also bringing in players of need in certain positions. You have Bryce Pierre, from ASU, a tight end. I wouldn't say a guy who was an elite tight end last year, but someone of need that could probably come in and really help out with the UCLA's offense. But then you're also having offensive lineman commit, another position of need. We talked about how Ruben Unije, I believe is how it's pronounced, from Louisville, he went to the spring game, committed shortly after. You don't have to do much for UCLA, especially UCLA. I can imagine if you're Boise State or Wyoming, you're really going to have to grind and try to get the guys that want to be there. But UCLA recruits itself. And the fact that he's not only getting players in position of need, he's actually getting players let me back up a bit. UCLA got a scholarship punter and a kicker in the last week. That didn't seem to be like a position of concern for Chip Kelly, whether it's,
I
don't know if we're going to, we're not going to punt all the time, or we're not going to, kick field goals because we're going to score touchdowns all the time. Yeah. I'm not saying he had that mentality, which was kind of what it was like at Oregon because they just scored at will. But we saw that, and I'm not trying to demean the punters and the kickers from the last few years. They did a hell of a job and were given, they were thrown into the fire, but, you also have to recruit that. That is this special teams is a huge part. And if you're just going to brush over and saying, "Oh, we can just get anybody to do that," no, you can't. You need some specialists. You need a solid punter. You need a solid kicker. I mean, Chris Saylor, God, I miss you. That's what UCLA needs to help complete. This football team. I mean, we've talked about how the offense and defense has been an imbalance. This last year, UCLA had a solid defense finally, and a so-so offense. Prior to that, they had those two seasons, two good offenses and defenses. No, it has to be balanced. You have to have talent and coaching on both sides, and you also have to take care of special teams. This is something that Deshaun Foster realizes. And, maybe it's insider information, but one of the reasons that I've heard, allegedly, speculation, the reason why Deshaun Foster went to the, accepted a position with the Las Vegas Raiders is because he disagreed with the recruiting strategy.
What Kelly was doing.
Yeah. And then Kelly moves on. They offer him the position and boom, look what he does. He hits those positions of need. He takes special teams seriously. So I wanted to get your position on that, specifically with special teams.
Well, to be fair with the special teams, I mean, my favorite special teams Bruin is a guy that Kelly actually brought in, and that's Mateen Begani from Cal Go Bears, the guy that basically took over the job at Cal. And
suck it, Cal.
Won the job and then transferred to UCLA. Which kept the Cal pipeline alive, in the, like Femi Oladejo and J Mike. So that's something that maybe Kelly had finally figured out by the before he decided to leave. But Deshaun certainly kept it going, and now you're right, Mike. I mean, he's certainly not only is he just doing the basic work that's required, apparently, that wasn't being done. And let's be fair, Chip Kelly, the one thing he did do good was use the transfer portal. But it seemed like one of the reasons why he gave up and quit on the job is because he didn't want to deal with the prospect of a totally free market. Like, he was ahead of the game when he was exploiting the transfer portal. And then when everybody caught up and then it became basically just a free agency, right? Mm-hmm. He just was like, I tap out, bro. Get me out of here. I just want to go coach football. Okay, quitter.
I just want to do offense.
Okay, loser. You know, get out of here. Get the hell out. Go win your national title at Ohio State, dick. Sorry, that's probably mean. But what Foster did do was adapt and continue. It looks like UCLA did bring in a pretty good darn transfer class, and it doesn't seem like Kelly was going to be able to do that the way he did.
Yeah.
And part of that is with re-energizing a little bit of the fan base, getting the donations kind of coming in, because at least for the time being, for the next year or two, it really is about how much are you going to be able to pay these dudes versus, you know, that's why we kept Jay Toya, right? Almost certainly.
Yeah.
That's the biggest deciding factor there. Jay Toya wanted to be a Bruin, but he wasn't going to be a Bruin if they couldn't come up with money to keep him here, right? Some of these transfers are definitely collecting something.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't have been possible if Kelly were still here and the fan base were as de-energized as they were. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I agree with you. You know, even though in regards to special teams specifically, probably the biggest special teams catch they got was a Kelly recruit.
Yeah.
Foster's still doing a great job with what he has available, and I think exceeding expectations at this point.
Yeah.
Right?
And it's similar to something that Mick Cronin said when he was first when he first got the job, is not only did he have to recruit guys from the future, he had to re-recruit the guys that he was with, that he was inheriting, because they could transfer, they could do whatever, but he had to assure them that, hey, I need you, we need to keep this intact, and that is what Deshaun Foster's doing.
Mick Cronin's done a hell of a job this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that paid off with a team that aged together, and like he was going to, you know, Final Fours with, you know, yeah. So, and, you know, and then he had to reset it. We'll see how that goes. We'll talk basketball in a minute. But no, I think that's totally fair, Mike. And, you know, now as we're in the dead period, basically, and speculating how they're going to be all summer long into the fall, mm-hmm. You know, once again, we have no idea what the football is going to be like yet.
They will be 10-2 or 2-10. Or somewhere
Sounds
in the middle.
Rumpy pumpy.
Or somewhere in the middle.
Yes. I think both of those. That's the thing, though, is I think both of those are like, they sound rumpy pumpy, but I mean, we really don't know.
Okay.
We really don't know.
Yeah.
So they're probably not going to be 10-2, Mike. Probably, rest assured.
Probably not. Yeah.
Probably not 10-2. But you know, whatever. Hope's
I don't strong. Think they're going to be 2-10.
Right
either.
Now? Right now? Who the hell knows, right?
Yeah.
They theoretically could be. Mm-hmm. So let's just think about that.
Yeah.
All right. Anywho, Mikey, do you have any more football to talk?
No, I just wanted to touch upon how we're seeing what just a little bit of work can do for recruiting.
Yeah.
Now we just got to see the coaches put it on the field and turn it into W's. So
from your mouth to God's ears.
Mm-hmm.
Go Bruins.
Go Bruins.
Do you think we drink too much?
No, we don't drink too much. Men face reality, women don't. That's why men need to drink.
I hate it when podcasters talk about what they're drinking.
That little weirdo makes the best Bengali really? I've ever had.
What else am I gonna drink, Bob? A fucking Fresca?
No, we're not drinking Fresca tonight, Bob, but thank you for joining the What's Brewing show. It's the What's Brewing Symposium. Of course, a symposium is a conversation over drinks, and that's what me and Mike are doing right now,
mm-hmm.
having a couple drinks. I'm having some whiskey. Mike's having a beer. Mikey, what did you choose for this evening?
Well, last week we talked about 181 Brewing in the San Fernando Valley, and we also briefly talked about paperback, and so I wanted some paperback.
Weird science.
Yeah, I saw this one. I haven't seen this one before. This one is, Weird Science, a West Coast-style hoppy pilsner, and It's interesting because you know how you're talking about, hey, maybe we should get some sponsorships with them. I was looking at the paperback website yesterday, and you know, you scroll to the bottom and it has all the information, contact, careers, time, you know, location, you know, all that stuff, all that information for the people. Trying to scroll. There must have been 70 freaking beers.
No, oh, wow.
This place is awesome.
Wow.
So yeah, I love the paperback. Jake, what do you got?
I have a bottle I picked up at Ralph's, and I'm going to Tennessee in a couple weeks, and I'm going to look for some more of this. This is Nelson's Greenbrier Tennessee Handmade Sour Mash Whiskey. Chaz and W.A. Nelson Tennessee Whiskey. It's 45% alcohol, so 90 proof. And it's a darn good bottle. I like this. It's not quite, you know, it doesn't taste like Jack Daniels, which is good. Although I'm not snooty about the expensive Jack Daniels. It's just a nice bottle of whiskey, so I highly recommend it if you like any of the Sour Mash sorts of products. Yeah, I'm going to see if I can go find some more when I get out there. Now, of course, it's a What's Brewing Symposium. We thank you for your support. You join the Patreon. You join the Substack. And for how much, Mike?
$2.
Just $2 or a little bit more. And you'll get access to the Slack feed. And occasionally we'll do some bonus episodes for you. But really, you're just supporting our little Bruin pirate ship. We've been here for over 10 years. We'll be here for another 10. Because you know what? Me and Mike just do it because we like to do it.
Hells yeah, bro. You
know? I mean, Mike is employed by an actual legitimate news agency.
Bro.
But
and we are distributed by that news agency.
But this is just our basic project is we're doing this because we like to do it. And we're old college buddies, and that's our thing. Mm-hmm. So, hey, thank you for whatever support you give us. We love you. And it's the What's Brewing Show Network. Thank you. It's men's and women's basketball talk.
Basketball.
With Mike Regalado.
Yep.
Big and applause, so, Big Mike.
Yeah, I'm working on this article I worked on this article that came
sounds
out on
rumpy pumpy
Tuesday, looking at the scholarship distribution for the women's basketball
Mike,
team.
Mike, what month is it?
November?
It's May, you son of a bitch.
It is May.
I'm being a little mean. I just want to push some buttons.
Well, no, that's the Keep thing. Going. I mean, like, there's even in the offseason, there's so much news with sports.
Serious.
I mean, the NFL can basically go 12 months out of the year.
Yeah.
And by the way, the roast of Tom Brady.
I didn't watch it.
There were some
I bet
zingers.
It was pretty funny.
There were some zingers, dude. I'll show you some clips, which were just hilarious. But the whole
you know what's funny? The only thing I saw of the Tom Brady roast, you know, because I didn't see any of the jokes. I probably should go back and watch it. Whatever, you know, however it is. Roast can be very funny.
Yeah.
I'm not going to deny that.
Yeah.
But the one goddamn headline I saw was Aaron Hernandez's wife is pissed off because her kids are feeling it at school because they were mean about Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's the first headline I'm going to get. Like, whatever.
The comments underneath those on the social medias was like, oh, wow, wait till they find out he's a murderer.
That's what I'm saying.
I was like,
there's a lot more to worry about than the goddamn Tom Brady roast.
No, there were some good
all
jokes.
All apologies to those, you know, to those children.
Two things I'm taking away from this. We want to talk about UCLA basketball, but two things I'm taking away from this. The fact that so many people, like, had freeze frames of Tom Brady where it basically said, Tom Brady's regretting this now. Because there's some of the jokes just like cut. One of the jokes was like, oh, Tom Brady has seven. Oh, yeah, no. Tom Brady has 8 rings, 7 championships, but the one that Giselle gave back.
Oh, my God.
But the funniest one was, I forgot her name, Glasner, female comedian. I forget. Oh, God. Yeah, she was pretty funny. She goes, and Tom Brady, how do you get caught? How do you lose $300 million in a crypto thing? Even Gronk was like, even me not know that real money. Oh, my God, I died. That was hilarious.
Go Cats.
Yeah, it was.
Bear down.
It was both disgusting and hilarious.
How the hell did you tell you on Tom Brady thing? We're talking basketball, Mike.
I don't know. What was I talking about? I don't
no
know.
No idea. You just lost
I don't
me.
Know. I just went on a tangent. Anyway.
It's okay.
The transfer portal
I
closed.
I would like to avoid the basketball shows for as long as possible.
Oh, because that's the thing. Because even the NFL is still 12 months out of the year.
Right.
And now college sports are doing the same thing.
Very good, yes.
And now the big thing was the transfer portal, which closed for all sports last week. And both the men's and women's basketball teams were able to bring in some pretty key contributors. And we talked about this a little last week, but the article that I have that I released today on Tuesday really looked at where the Bruins, the scholarship distribution is. And I just want to really quickly run through this. Starting with the women. You know, UCLA, the Bruins lost six players from last year. Charisma Osborne, Cameron Brown, Izzy Ansi, Emily Bessoir, Lena Sontag, and Christine Iwala. That is a lot. But considering the fact that they already have a solid core and they brought in two key transfers, I think they'll do all right. And I still think that this is the best roster that Corey Close will have. As far as seniors or grads, they have Angela Dugalich, who's a starter. So she's going to be pretty freaking solid going forward. And I think her game will improve, will evolve. They also have Charlize Leisure-Walker, who was the, I believe she was the starting or the top scorer for Washington State, but she was the one that had the ACL tear. So that's going to be interesting to see when, not only when she comes back, but how she fits in to the into the system. She's a pretty shifty guard, and she can maneuver in the paint pretty well, but she also has a really good shot. She seems like a consistent shooter, which UCLA has had some trouble with over the last few years, so that's really good. Big question is, when is she going to join? The huge thing about all this is that UCLA had a lot of underclass players, but now the majority of them were sophomores. Now they're all juniors, and they also get a transfer in Tamia Gardner, who is just an amazing baller. She got the Pac-12 sixth player of the year award last year. And,
just a baller, man.
It's weird. She was in the same recruiting class as Kiki Rice and Lauren Betts. So now, with her on the team, Corey Close from the 2022 recruiting class has the number one, number two, and number six player in that recruiting class.
Wow.
Insane. You know, I did think that it was a little quiet on the women's basketball transfer front until the last 2 weeks. This helps out a bit. Even though they are up to 12 and they still have three roster spots, I think they could still add. I don't know when the next window is to bring in any new players. But as of now, this is a pretty solid roster. So the juniors are Kiki Rice, London Jones, Gabriela Jaquez, Tamia Gardner, and Lauren Betts. Sophomore, just one, Amanda Muse.
Mm-hmm.
She should be a pretty...
I hear she's very inspiring.
I like where
you like that, right? You like that,
yeah.
Right?
She
like that.
She didn't she was a four star out of high school,
straight baller,
and didn't get a lot of time because obviously the Bruins roster was stacked last year. But
what are the odds that she's a contributor this next year?
Oh, I think highly, especially since Iwala moved on.
Because what's my favorite band or one of them? I mean, I have it's hard for me to name a favorite band, but definitely in my like
Muse.
Top 10. Yeah, it's Muse, right?
I think she's going to be a very solid backup to
I'm
to
definitely
going to
like if she's good.
Oh yeah,
like, if she's actually contributing. Like, I'm going to give her a drop, because then every time you say her name, I'll be like...
We're going to do that.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm always thinking, Mike.
Jake.
Yes.
I guarantee she will be a factor.
Then I'm going to get it. I think
Let's do it.
Anyways.
As far as freshmen, just some solid contributors. 3 5 stars in Avery Kane, Kendall Dudley, and Zania Saka-Guman. Zania... Kendall went to school with Kiki Rice at Sidwell Friends School in Maryland.
Oh, fun.
It was funny. Kendall Dudley put out a tweet today because, oh, actually, this should have been a headline. The women's basketball team announced the Big Ten matchups. Not the schedule, but the matchups. So they're playing every team in the Big Ten at least once, but they're only playing one team twice, home and home.
Yeah.
It's USC, which makes sense. So they're playing at Maryland, and Kendall Dudley put out a tweet that says, oh, that's basically a home game for us.
Nice.
So, but we'll see, because Maryland is actually, they've had a really good women's basketball program the last few years. So they're bringing in four solid contributors, also with Alina Aronsalo from Sweden. So that's 12 players. So far, they have Sienna Betts, Lauren's sister, coming in 2025. After this year, with Dugalich and Leisure Walker moving on, two roster spots open up. Betts is coming in. They will have three roster spots available. So there's a lot of room. There's a lot of space for Corey Close to bring in even more talent. And as of now, I believe there are eight of the top 10 players, according to ESPN Hoop Girls, that have UCLA in their top 10, I believe.
Oh, that's nice.
So if she can land at least, I would say two of them, that's just going to, you know, keep this engine running for the next few years.
Well, it's very cool. Now, question, because it's kind of funny. Like, I feel like UCLA basketball and UCLA women's basketball are both in kind of the same boat in that we're very optimistic about how they are doing. There's a lot of good things happening. UCLA women's basketball is coming off of a good season, but a disappointing finish in the tournament. Men's basketball is coming off a kind of a debacle of a season, but it's explainable. Yeah. But it looks like they've bounced back very good, right?
Yeah.
Like you're about to talk about men's basketball in a minute, but it's safe to assume that both teams are very much solidly in the top 20, possibly in the top 10, probably in the top 10. Can we go so far as to say these are pretty much top 10 teams? Like, regardless of who's talking about it, they're going to put UCLA men's and women's in the top 10?
I would say
are we almost there?
I would say easily both of them are top 25. Hot take is both of them are top 10.
Would a hot take be top 15? Like, where do you think they break in?
I would say the men, top 20. The women, definitely top 10.
Which is still something to be, you know, kind of happy about.
Yeah.
But when we're talking about the women's team, mm-hmm. they're going to be constantly put beside the absolute, like, you know, I don't know, explosion over across town at SC.
Yeah.
Because everybody's talking about how that team is like, oh my God, they brought in
the
best player off of every Pac-12 team basically for the last like 3 years is on SC now, right?
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
It's pretty ridiculous.
It's pretty
right?
insane what Lindsay Gottlieb did over there. It's like, oh crap.
Yeah, those sons of bitches over there.
God
so, I
damn
mean,
it.
Mike, do you think that the team that UCLA is putting together, you know, obviously on paper, they're not going to stack up to that collection of talent over there, but
I say they would.
Well, okay, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
Like, what? Okay.
Specifically because, I mean, taking out the Pac-12 tournament game, they split the two regular season games.
Sure.
And both of those games were very close. Considering that UCLA had basically one upperclassman, Charisma Osborne, leading the team with a bunch of sophomores, that's the fact that UCLA is just going to develop. All these sophomores are now juniors, and you're bringing in some talent, some talented freshmen. Hell yeah, UCLA is going to be able to battle with USC. I don't think I definitely think USC should be a top five team.
Yeah,
but that doesn't mean that they're going to be able to walk over UCLA.
I didn't say that, but what I'm saying is that USC on paper looks like possibly the best team in the country. UCLA.
I still give it to South Carolina. Just saying.
Whatever. Yeah. Look, it's not like I'm talking from a position of advantage, right? I'm basically in time to talk about women's basketball.
Well, you
I'm
know enough,
ass,
though.
But what I'm saying is you're
not far off.
Highly rated. Let's say they're a top three team on paper.
Yeah.
What we're trying to say is UCLA is not far off of that.
Oh, God, no.
And that's great. That's good. It's something to be very thrilled about.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing I want to ask you about women's basketball, and then I'll bring it back to the point about men's basketball, and then you can jump into the men's basketball news, is getting back to women's. Last year, they had, from my eyeballs, looking at the attendance from last year, there was one sellout, and that was hosting SC.
Yeah.
And we can rest assured, probably that game this year will be a sellout. Agree on that? Like, almost certainly, right? There'll be a lot of hype behind that game.
That and the one at Galen, yeah.
Yeah, but I'm talking about UCLA at Pauley.
Oh, gotcha.
Pauley holds like 13-8, I want to say, okay? Other than that game, I think the most that UCLA drew in conference was like 5,500 or maybe 6,000 mm-hmm. for like maybe one of the it looks like one of the Washington games. Washington State got 7,200 people. Everything else was like below 5,000 or so
last
year in the conference schedule. do you think that going into the Big Ten is going to be like good or bad, and just the overall state of the UCLA program and the overall state of women's college basketball as a whole, do you think that's going to lead to like a spike in attendance at Pauley Pavilion?
I don't know about a spike, but I think will continue to grow because I was looking at the same stats. What I think the average for this past year was 5,000.
That's probably about right.
The year before, it was about 2,500.
Okay.
So that was almost like doubled attendance per game. And I think that's just going to
certainly the interest level has doubled. And that's just as a whole. Like
yeah.
The boats are all rising when it comes to women's college basketball.
Yeah. Here's what I'll say. Like, you know, USC has some like talent, which they're that marketing, all that stuff, publicizing the team, hyping them up, that's going to bring in more, that's going to increase attendance for USC, as well as having just an insane roster led by Juju Watkins. UCLA,
bad juju.
I think, let's hope there's some bad juju next year. I think UCLA, like I said, has a good roster. It needs to be hyped up a little more. I think their branding needs to take a step up. I think they need to do a little bit more. Maybe if they can get some, you know, NIL deals or something like that, you know, get on national commercials like Juju was. But they need to put themselves in a position to say, hey, look at us. There's no reason we should be passed up or be an afterthought.
I feel like they're going to need to do that by winning. Like, they're going to have to win some big games early. They're going to have to come in, and in their big matchup against SC, some of these players need to step up and play big, right? That's where that's going to come from. I don't think you're going to worry about that, right? Like
No.
Yeah.
I here's what I'm saying. I think someone needs to kind of be like just a darling, if you will, a celebrity, a Hollywood star, because – you know, you talk to these athletes, and they're all like just, I mean, even the superstars last year, like Caitlin Clark and, well, okay, Angel Reese had a different, tactic. But even like Juju Watkins was pretty chill. But her game, she let her game speak for her. There really isn't anyone on UCLA like that right now. I guess Lauren Betts. But, I would love to see, like, Lauren Betts in, like, commercials and stuff like that, or on billboards, or just they need to really pimp out the UCLA women's basketball team. That's probably not the best wording. They need to really – they need to advertise the hell out of this team.
And that's fair.
Someone needs to step up and kind of be a voice, to be that how can I say this? Like a kind of Kobe-esque – personality. They need personality. They need someone to be like, hey, we're UCLA basketball.
Market
we're
the personalities
here.
That are actually on the team.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah. And yeah, sure.
That's fair,
they'll have winning. They'll have wins, but they need to take it a step further to make sure that this is a household brand, a name brand, a brand that is not going to go away.
And part of that too is they need to win. They need to overachieve instead of underachieve.
Would you say they need some wood, some hardware?
Yeah, maybe, Mikey.
Yeah.
That's what Mike's been asking for a while.
Me too.
All right. bringing it back around to men's,
mm-hmm.
right? The same question for the men. Like, I talked about the women's team kind of right now being defined against the what's going over at SC. I mean, you know, I think there's no getting away from that right now, given what SC has done with their recruiting. The men's, it feels like they've done nothing but positive things to turn Cronin's program around, but they're still kind of an afterthought when you think about like what's going on across the country with UConn and Calipari moving to Arkansas and Kentucky having a new coach and all these other things, right? I feel like UCLA basketball is kind of under the radar right now. You know, going into the Big Ten, it's going to be a huge adjustment. And I think this is a really big season for Cronin. If he can put together a quality team that does well in the Big Ten, like that's, you know, it's nice to be, it's kind of like the football team. It's nice to be under the radar a little bit so that you have the potential to really overachieve.
Yeah.
Do you think that's kind of where they're at? Like, I feel like they're going to be relatively highly rated, but maybe underrated based on what they have the potential to be. Does that make sense?
You know, just like we talked about with football, there's all this activity going on, and it's good. This is really good. What Mick Cronin has done to bring in six transfer players, but we have to see what happens, you know, on the court. You know, it you're bringing in some quality guys, some guys that have done quite a bit in their careers, but you got to put it all together, and you know, they're filled to the brim with players. They have 13 scholarship players, which is at the limit. You know, you lose guys like Burke and McClendon and Feblou, who I thought I would have liked to seen those guys progress as Bruins, but unfortunately that's not in the cards. But they're bringing in guys who can fill in those spots. Now, the only thing I'm worried about, and yeah, and that goes to what you're kind of what you said with football, and what I think you're alluding to here is, can they put it all together? Can they turn this into, you know, a proper top 10 team, possibly a championship team? And I think they are better right now than they were a year ago, because Cronin really had to reel and just, you know, he really had to hit the international scene. And we saw how that was taxing on the coaches, trying to travel and communicate and trying to figure out how to, you know, work with these guys. It's a little bit easier when you have, and you know, one of the things Chip Kelly did right is hit the transfer portal. Not this past season, because it caught up to him, but going into the transfer portal and getting guys who are already established, who have Division I experience, is freaking huge. You can't underestimate what Chip Kelly did with that, and we're seeing that with Mick Cronin right now. Yeah, he's just bringing in guys that have experience, have talent, and are just, you know, basically filling up positions. So similar to the women's scholarship distribution, right now we have, as far as senior grads, we have Stefanovic, who I think he did, you know, a lot was placed on him last year. And we love the Lazar. Laser.
Got to get the drop.
Blade. Laser. Blazer. He took a lot of guff from the UCLA fan base, and especially the Utah fan base when they went there and got blown, you know, their shoes blown off. But he was a key component to the Bruins down the stretch and during that winning streak. So I think his leadership abilities and what he can do on the court is going to be huge for the Bruins. Especially in trying to build some sort of chemistry. You need an anchor. And to have him and Dylan Andrews be those two guys who can lead UCLA going into the future, and both of them are now upperclassmen, that's huge. You also have Dominic Harris and Kobe Johnson, who both have quite a bit of experience, good defense, good scoring capabilities. As seniors too, you know, they might be first year guys with the Bruins, but what they bring, their experience, is going to be huge for UCLA, and that's what UCLA lacked last season, and they get that going into next season. As juniors, as far as the juniors, you have Dylan Andrews, you also have Sky Clark, Tyler Bilodeau, and William Kyle. Now, Dale Andrews is the only junior from last year. The other three are transfers, but they're also quality transfers. These are guys who played they were at the top of the game. There were some of the more elite talent with the teams that they were with. So that's just huge. It just speaks volumes how. There's just so much experience already added to this team, as opposed to a year ago when you're trying to evaluate talent and bring it in, especially from across the Atlantic Ocean, and trying to put something together. Already, Mick Cronin has a bunch of guys who they're definitely going to feel the Mick Cronin heat once they get into the actual season. But these are guys that I believe can they can take it. They can handle it.
And I feel like, you know, I kind of overshot it when I was saying, like, both teams, men's and women's, are in the top 10, right? And you kind of cooled me down there. And to your point, Mike, ESPN right now in their early top 25 has UCLA number 19. And then our friend Gary Parrish.
You ever been to Poly Pavilion and seen that?
I don't.
At the top 25 and one, he's got him at number 20. So, but
yeah.
So, like, the point being is that UCLA, the men's team, is solidly in the top 25 probably by what people are expecting of them.
Yeah.
But they're still kind of under the radar in that they could very much overachieve that. And us looking at this program, thinking about what Mick Cronin is a coach, thinking about what he brought in, like, we would not be surprised at all if they overachieve that ranking, right? As opposed to last year, when we're just like, we are optimistic. We're like, oh, they brought in all these guys, a lot of talent, yada, yada, yada. But it was so inexperienced, and the parts ended up being so disparate that, you know, it ended up in a season that they were under 500, 16-17.
Yeah.
This year, it feels like they really could overachieve even them getting a top 25 ranking, right? Which would be, you know, right in line with what we expect from UCLA basketball, I would suppose.
Yeah. I mean, and the opposite of that is like, well, if they underachieve, and I think Cronin knows this after this last season, if they underachieve, he's probably on the hot seat. But I don't think they're going to underachieve. I think that this team, he's put something together which should at least keep them in contention, especially going into the Big Ten, which was not, it was not a great basketball conference last year. It should keep, I'll say this, UCLA should definitely compete for the Big Ten championship next year.
And what we both agree on is Mick Cronin has done a hell of a job at UCLA.
Mick Cronin's done a hell of a job this year.
Mm-hmm. So he needs it. Well, maybe not this year, but at UCLA, we'll say. And we're looking for that. I mean, so that's good. All right, Mikey.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else?
No, that was about it. I just wanted to go into how both of the basketball teams did with their roster construction, and it looks good for both of them. So that's good. It's good.
All right, well, I guess let's bring
some hardware
to Bill's favorite part of the show, then.
What's brewing with you?
You ask me.
What's brewing with me?
Yeah.
What's brewing with you? What's brewing with me? What's brewing with
you?
Mikey, what's brewing with you?
Dude, a lot of stuff. Dear God. I didn't know. I thought having a high school senior was going to be a thing. I don't have a high school senior yet.
It is a thing. But I'm on my second high school senior.
Oh, dude, I can imagine. You're young probably guy. Stressing. Like, you don't have hair, but I can imagine if you did.
I have hair. I just choose to trim it. Don't call me bald, Mike.
No, what?
We're friends here.
You are bald.
To be honest. I'm not.
You're not balding.
I shave my head.
You're, exactly.
Yes.
You're bald. You're not balding.
There you go.
There you go.
We agree.
You don't have a receding hairline. This is a personal choice. But if you, I think if you would have, if you choose to let your hair out, we would probably see a lot of salt and pepper. Yeah,
maybe a little bit.
Maybe.
It's starting to fill in.
Oh God, yeah. Seriously. So I have an eighth grader, and
hey, me too.
Nice. I know, right? Even your eighth grader. But yeah, no, eighth grade dances and pictures. And like I said, last week, my daughter got back from East Coast trip. She's still reeling from that. We're talking about how awesome, you know, our trips were historical wise and, you know, and otherwise, aside from that, it's the end of the year. And even my sixth grader, she has a part in the Beauty and the Beast, which is taking place in 2 weeks. My son is a part of the chorus in that. So there's just so much end of the year stuff going on. And plus, some of you know that I do work in education as well. So even doing that is it's just a lot. So there's just a lot. And on top of just
May and June are tough for people in education.
Seriously. Helping my kids through assessment tests and stuff like that and getting prepared for next year, it's just crazy. But I am looking forward to, I have a kind of a bit of a rest this weekend before everything really starts up the following weekend. This weekend, I'm looking forward to it. As we alluded to at the beginning of the show, I got tickets to the Cruel World Fest.
That's rad.
Which is just, I think the lineup is just so much better than last year. I, you know, not, I like Susie and Iggy, but not huge fans. But to see like Duran Duran or Interpol, the Jesus and Mary Chain, Ministry, The Faint, I'm going bonkers. So I'm very excited about that. But after that, it's back to the grind. This is just insane. You know, when I was thinking about having kids, I knew it was going to be a grind. But you don't know exactly how much of a grind it is until you actually have the niños.
This is very true.
My gosh. So, very fun. And I'm just enjoying every minute of it, despite the fact that it's stressing me out and giving me more gray hairs. But, hey, it is what it is. It's what I signed up for, and I absolutely love it. Jake, what's wrong with you?
Watch this show.
Jake.
He watches too much TV. No one can. Jake, I really hope you know that doctor who is fake. Jake, there's more to life than Sherlock, just a fight a new girl. Wait.
No, there's not.
Watch this show.
Jake, really quickly, how, you can tell this is an old drop just by the shows that we mentioned.
Yeah, maybe so. I still enjoy it.
Wow, Just to Fight a New Girl. Those have not been on the air for a long time. I need to do an update.
I like how it is, though. You did a really good job.
If I could find the file and maybe just insert.
That's the problem.
Modern
your
shows?
Computer took a shit, and so you can't find any of these files, Mike.
I know. That's.
But
I am very good at recreating a lot of this stuff. So okay. I'm just saying.
Well, anyways, I told you last week I wanted you to make another theme for something. So, I mean, you know, if that's what you want to do, that's what I do.
What was
I
that
enjoy
theme?
This theme.
I forgot.
Watch this show.
Oh, you want it for that?
No. I don't know. I said just make a new theme.
Oh, yeah.
Of any sort.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I haven't done that in a while. Yeah. So, I mean, whatever you do.
I'm on it.
Yeah, it's okay.
I have eighth graders, dude.
So I am positively overflowing with some watch the show type of stuff. But first, I will say I just started watching The Veil on Hulu. I think it's an FX show. It stars Elizabeth Moss from Mad Men and from Handmaid's Tale. And it's just fantastic. It's only been two episodes in, so I don't know how good it's going to end up being. I think it's like six episodes long. But she's a British spy pretending sort of to be... Well, no, she's a British spy with a French handler starting off in the Middle East, investigating a possible, like, either kingpin sort of terrorist lady or somebody that's a little bit more anonymous than that. And it starts in the Middle East and it works its way into Paris. And it's just, like, a beautiful show, a really well-acted show, and it's, like, a spy show. So this hits all the buttons I want. And plus, like, Megan's going to, you know, Paris in a month. So I'm like, oh, we got to watch the show. We got to get into it. So it's a lot of fun. So The Veil, only two episodes in. The third one debuted tonight. But I thought it was very good. So if you haven't watched that yet, get on it. Second of all, I found a great Audible book, and we still have an Audible link for the What's Brewing Show, I believe, but I listen to a lot of audiobooks, and I rediscovered somebody called Tennessee Williams.
Miss Dubois?
Please. It won't be necessary. Ask her to let go of me.
Let go.
Whoever you are, I have always depended on the kindness of strangers.
If you don't recognize that, that's from Streetcar Named Desire.
Wait, that was an audiobook?
That's an audiobook, but it's this
with
awesome
the soundtrack
version.
In the back?
It's a BBC production of the play.
That's freaking awesome.
It's fucking lit. Like, I love listening to audiobooks.
I was like, wait, there's a soundtrack to that.
Dude, I love listening to audiobooks, okay? I listen to a shit ton of audiobooks. However, I found this BBC dramatization of the Tennessee Williams plays, and I think they do it with a bunch of other players, and I'm like going to go down the rabbit hole on it. Mm-hmm. But it's these amazingly well-acted audio versions of these plays. So far I listened to Glass Menagerie and Streetcar Named Desire, and I'm working on another one right now that's also in that particular book. What is it called? It's a lost play as they found later after he died, Spring Storm. But so good and so well acted, and it's like I'm like back in the 1940s of the South. And
right.
It's lovely. Anyways. I can't recommend those highly enough. So I think we have a What's Brewing audio link, which I'll leave in the show notes. But even if not, if you're not a member of Audible, join Audible. It's so cool. So if like you're driving your car, listen to music half the time and listen to an audiobook the other half the time. These BBC reproductions or stage play productions are so good. So I'll put a link in the show notes for those. Thirdly, and most importantly, one of my favorite movies of all time is being remade by one of my favorite directors of all time.
You talked about this. What was it?
I'm blanking. I put this on a text thread last week.
Go.
It's the freaking Running Man.
Yes.
One of my favorite Arnold Schwarzenegger movies, right? And I love that show. It's got Richard Dawson in it. Mm-hmm. If you haven't, if you don't remember it very well.
The Butcher of Bakersfield?
Bill Simmons on his rewatchables just did a rewatchable on the Running Man.
Oh, nice.
And that's when I discovered that Edgar freaking Wright, one of my favorite directors,
yeah.
Hot Fuzz,
uh-huh.
Scott Pilgrim, a lot of other movies. He's remaking this movie. It's in production right now. And I am like, just like my head exploded. I like, this is going to be my favorite movie of all time, maybe. And I'm just calling my shot. I can't wait.
I hope it holds up, because actually Petro Samani just talked about remakes, and they were talking about how Total Recall was remade with Colin Farrell.
Not great.
Just trash. Yeah. It was absolute trash.
Yeah.
The original, obviously, just campy 80s Arnold.
Awesomeness.
Like,
although I think it was early 90s. Was it early 90s? I think it was early 90s.
Either way, you know, whatever.
Three Boobs Lady.
Yeah, it was just, the remake was just horrible. So I hope Edgar Wright who's a fantastic director. I hope he nails it.
It's in good hands, I know, and I have faith that he's going to make a awesome freaking movie, and I can't wait for it. And The Running Man was such a, like, there's been articles written in the last, like, 5 years about how Running Man basically predicted the future, you know, like, where we are with reality TV shows, where we all are with, like, you know, the world's governments and where it's heading and all that stuff. It's like, yeah, it's not quite right, but, I mean, there were some things they nailed, you know, like just, you know, how, you know, just live betting and marketing and things like that. Yeah. Running Man's pretty crazy. And it's a bonkers movie. It's just, it's a totally nutso movie.
Yeah.
It's not like a classically good movie, but it is so enjoyable and fun.
Yeah.
And it's one of those ones where, you know, it's like an action movie, but, like, the action actually sucks in it. But the ideas of the movie are, like, super cool. Like, you know, and it inspired things like American Gladiators.
Yeah.
That is from The Running Man.
Yeah, okay? Exactly.
And all of this is based on a book that Stephen King wrote under a pseudonym. And the book has almost no relationship to the actual movie, The Running Man, that they came out with. But it's awesome. I love it. And Edgar Wright's redoing it. And I couldn't be more happy.
Quick sidebar on that same note. You know what I just watched the other day? Just because I was like, I haven't seen this.
Tell me.
Idiocracy.
Oh yeah, that's
my
a fun
God!
Movie.
It just
that's a fun movie.
It's fun and stupid and just
Mike
like,
Judge.
Oh my God, weird. Yes, exactly. Yeah. I was like, wow, we're heading down that rabbit hole. Anyway, hopefully not. But anyway, I got to get back on.
We
the
should go watch.
Thing.
You should rewatch Silicon Valley, and then go watch Office Space.
I saw Office Space 2 weeks ago.
That's lit. Yeah.
Love it. Love it.
All right, Mikey. Well, we did a good job of taking a show in which we had nothing to talk about and stretching it into over an hour. So,
sweet.
Kudos to you, my friend. I was literally trying to cancel this show.
You were. I was like, well, I have something to talk about. Yeah. Well,
we did.
Good job. We'll see.
Good job.
Thank you.
All right. Well, good. And I guess we might be back next week. We might not. We'll see. But if we are, then great. If we aren't, then great.
Yeah.
Until next time, Mikey, what do we say?
Good evening.
Smoke 'em if you got it.
That was the What's Brewing Show.
Try us tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel.
It's got to be in or out, Mom. In or out. Well, I need the door closed.
Thank you for your cooperation.
Dude, Rob, we play some ball on the West Coast.
The final word is boob.